This is not necessarily a vote of confidence from the leadership of the African Union. This is a rotational rote process which has little more than symbolic value. However, what Mr. Mugabe does with that platform will, of course, be interesting. At his age, he has a tendency to focus on a retrospective analysis of what he thinks is wrong, as opposed to progressive and forward-looking thinking about what challenges face the continent. So let's see if Mr. Mugabe is going to use that platform for building bridges as opposed to berating and pointing fingers at the responsibility of other countries and continents that he believes are the reason for Africa's continued struggles.
But can we not say this is an endorsement by his fellow African leaders? I mean, looking at the fact that in 2007, after the West rejected to the Sudanese president, Ghana ended up taking the AU chairmanship.
Yes. Well, it's important, Blessing, to remember that there is a qualitative distinction between the violations that al-Bashir is held responsible for and accused of than Robert Mugabe. Having said that, that doesn't take away issues of culpability. But the politics around Zimbabwe by the African leadership is such that there has been an attempt to bring Mr. Mugabe back into the fold after endorsing a period of unity or coalition politics in Zimbabwe. And so one could say he was given a clean slate from which to build. However, I would be surprised if there were many true disciples of Robert Mugabe amongst the African leadership there. So many people see this year of Mugabe's chairmanship as almost a thank you and a final swan song for Mr. Mugabe on the continental platform.
Mr. Mugabe is also subject to travel bans from both the United States and European Union. What does this mean?
Quite correctly, you point to a prospective area that could result in some further tensions, which would have ripples and repercussions beyond bilateral relations with Zimbabwe. And the United States and the European Union should tread cautiously with respect to this, and maybe with respect to his very specific role as African Union chairman, provide some exemptions to that travel ban for any high-level meetings that require Mr. Mugabe's attendance in the United States or Europe.
There are some critics are saying that because Mr. Mugabe is such a polarizing figure, his elevation will actually stymie the fight against increasing terrorism in some parts of Africa and also the fight against Ebola. Do you agree with this assessment?
Well, not necessarily. I think Mugabe could certainly contribute to catalyzing further action on those fronts. However, he will not be involved in the day-to-day nuts and bolts operational activities. This is the work of the Commission and the staff of the African Union. So he will be perhaps making some figurehead statements in relation to some of these issues, but he won't be party to ensuring whether the operational aspects are blocked or stymied in any way. And Mr. Mugabe, of course, has a range of issues to deal with, not only as president of Zimbabwe, but also as chairman of the Southern African Development Community, which he remains chair of until the middle of August.
Mr. Mugabe also, in 2013, urged Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta to ignore the ICC trial. Looking at that issue, how do you think this elevation is going to be viewed by the West?
Well, I think, let's face it, the African Union's leadership has made its position relatively clear in terms of its criticisms of the way that the ICC is operating at the moment. So one could argue that Mr. Mugabe's antipathies towards the ICC are not out of step with those of many of the other leaders. As such, I do not foresee his positioning on international criminal justice issues as being something that will contribute to any kind of enmity between Africa and the West, although it certainly will sharpen concerns among civil society organizations both in the West and in Africa itself in relation to these issues, because we're not going to see someone at the helm who is going to necessarily be championing an African solution for these issues in terms of the development of the African criminal justice system, the African court, and African remedial mechanisms.
Lastly, Mr. Mugabe back home has been described by some as the Maradona or Messi of politics in terms of how he has dealt with internal fights within his party. Zimbabwe, to some, is a failing state. How is he going to navigate his way through those responsibilities?
Well, Blessing, I think even if you had a young, vibrant leader taking over as chair of the AU, it would be a tall order to expect that person to play an enormously significant role in shifting the issues that face the continent. I think it's likely in the next 12 months that we'll see Robert Mugabe taking more of a back seat in active governance and party issues inside Zimbabwe, and he will use this time as a space to test the leadership of his vice presidents, in particular Emmerson Mnangagwa, and also the new cabinet. It is an opportunity for him to see how that works, and for him to also expend more energy and time on his responsibilities with SADC and the AU. But as you clearly point out, this is a major challenge for him, and it doesn't really look particularly clever for the leadership of the continent to foist all these responsibilities onto one man.